The jury was ready. After 42 hours of deliberations that followed 71 days of trial that included 530 hours of testimony from 4 dozen witnesses, and after a lifetime of sitting silently as the lawyers haggled and the judge lectured and the spectators watched like hawks for telltale signs, the jury was ready. Locked away in the jury room, secluded and secure, 10 of them proudly signed their names to the verdict, while the other 2 pouted in their corners, detached and miserable in their dissension. There were hugs and smiles and no small measure of self-congratulation, because they had survived this little war and could now march proudly back into the arena with a decision they had rescued through sheer determination and the dogged pursuit of compromise. Their ordeal was over, their civic duty complete. They had served above and beyond. They were ready. The foreman knocked on the door and rustled Uncle Joe from his slumbers. Uncle Joe, the ancient bailiff, had guarded them while he also arranged their meals, heard their complaints, and quietly slipped their messages to the judge. In his younger years, back when his hearing was better, Uncle Joe was rumored to also eavesdrop on his juries through a flimsy pine door he and he alone had selected and installed. But his listening days were over, and as he had confided to no one but his wife, after the ordeal of this particular trial, he might just hang up his old pistol once and for all. The strain of controlling justice was wearing him down. He smiled and said, "That's great, I'll get the judge," as if the judge were somewhere in the bowels of the courthouse just waiting for a call from Uncle Joe. Instead, by custom, the bailiff found a clerk and passed along the wonderful news. It was truly exciting. The old courthouse had never seen a trial so large and so long. To end it with no decision at all would have been a shame. The clerk tapped lightly on the judge's door, then took a step inside and proudly announced, "We have a verdict," as if she had personally labored through the negotiations and now was presenting the result as a gift. The judge closed his eyes and let loose a deep, satisfying sigh. He smiled a happy, nervous smile of enormous relief, almost disbelief, and finally said, "Round up the lawyers." After almost 5 days of deliberations, Judge Harrison had resigned himself to the likelihood of a hung jury, his worst nightmare. After 4 years of bare-knuckle litigation and 4 months of a hotly contested trial, the prospect of a draw made him ill. He couldn't begin to imagine the prospect of doing it all again. He stuck his feet into his old penny loafers, jumped from the chair, grinning like a little boy, and reached for his robe. It was finally over, the longest trial of his extremely colorful career. The clerk's first call went to the firm of Peyton and Peyton, a local husband and wife team now operating out of an abandoned dime store in a lesser part of town. A paralegal picked up the phone, listened for a few seconds, hung up, then shouted, "The jury has a verdict!" His voice echoed through the cavernous maze of small, temporary workrooms and jolted his colleagues. He shouted it again as he ran to the pit, where the rest of the firm was frantically gathering. Wes Peyton was already there, and when his wife Mary Grace rushed in, their eyes met in a split second of unbridled fear and bewilderment. 2 paralegals, 2 secretaries, and a bookkeeper gathered at the long, cluttered work table, where they suddenly froze and gawked at one another, all waiting for someone else to speak. Could it really be over? After they had waited for an eternity, could it end so suddenly, so abruptly, with just a phone call? "How about a moment of silent prayer?" Wes said, and they held hands in a tight circle and prayed as they had never prayed before. All manner of petitions were lifted up to God Almighty, but the common plea was for victory. "Please, dear Lord, after all this time and effort, and money and fear and doubt, please, oh please, grant us a divine victory, and deliver us from humiliation, ruin, bankruptcy, and a host of other evils that a bad verdict will bring." The clerk's second call was to the cell phone of Jared Curtin, the architect of the defense. Mr. Curtin was lounging peacefully on a rented leather sofa in his temporary office on Front Street in downtown Hattiesburg, 3 blocks from the courthouse. He was reading a biography and watching the hours pass at $750 per. He listened calmly, slapped the phone shut, and said, "Let's go. The jury is ready." His dark-suited soldiers snapped to attention and lined up to escort him down the street in the direction of another crushing victory. They marched away without comment, without prayer. Other calls went to other lawyers, then to the reporters, and within minutes the word was on the street and spreading rapidly.